Well, this is Pastor Woodson Moore coming to you from Fairton Christian Center in Fairton, New Jersey. Here we are at the end of the week. It is Friday. And that means that tomorrow is a day that you can probably do whatever it is that you want unless you're working shift work. And then Sunday is coming. Sunday, the day of rest, the Sabbath of the Lord. It's a gift that God gave to us. He said to the Israelites, he said, you work 6 days a week, but the seventh day, you rest. You think about me. You think about the Lord. You think about good things. And because we're on Christian radio here, I assume that most people are listening are already Christians, and you probably already have a church home. But if you're listening and you don't have a church home, we would welcome you to come and be part of our congregation at Fairton Christian Center. It's right in Fairton, 4 miles south of Bridgeton, 8 miles southwest of Millville. And we would love to have you. We've got a great congregation. We have lots of different activities that goes on. We just came off last Saturday, came off our fall festival, had a wonderful time, lots of good eats and fun for the kids and the people. But that's just one of the things that we do. We do lots and lots of good things. And in the Old Testament, it says, the Lord sets the solitary in families. You know, I know there are people who say, well, me and God, we got our own thing going. I just go out, set in a tree, and I talk to God, and he talks to me, and that's all I need. Well, I understand that. But it says in Ephesians 4 that when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are gifts. I guess you don't have to take advantage of God's gifts, but he knew you and he knows you. And he said, I'm going to give you some gifts that's going to help you in your way with me. And I want to help you in your life. And so he takes the solitary and he sets you into a family. And you learn to, you have friends. You have people that will stand with you, people that will pray with you. My people are so wonderful. They've been praying with me. They've been seeking God on my behalf, lifting me up before the throne. And they've been wonderful to me. Been going through some medical problems, but the Lord is gracious and good. And whoa, how wonderful it is to have a family to be part of. And so I would encourage you to get into a church, get into a family, and if you don't know where to go, come see us. We would love to have you. Well, we've talked about a lot of things this week, and I think I'd like to close the week out with this. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 1 says, for since the law has merely a rude outline or foreshadowing of the good things to come, instead of fully expressing those things, it can never be offering the same sacrifices continually year after year, make perfect those who approach its altars. So the people under the law offering the sacrifices could never be made perfect. For if it were otherwise, would these sacrifices not have stopped being offered? Since the worshipers had once for all been cleansed, they would no longer have any guilt or consciousness of sin. But as it is, these sacrifices annually bring a fresh remembrance of sins to be atoned for. You know, one of the things that the New Testament promises is he'll take away that sin consciousness in us, this idea that we're a sinner. And some of the old hymns emphasize that we're worms and we're this and we're that. Well, yeah, we were once a sinner, but we came to Christ. And there he forgave us. You know, we became a new creation. And then if you drop on down to verse 12 in Hebrews 10, it says, whereas this one Christ, after he had offered a single sacrifice for our sins, that shall avail for all time, set down at the right hand of God, Jesus went one time into the Holy of Holies. He only died one time. I remember hearing Kenneth Copeland say one time, he was at the altar and he was praying, says, oh, Lord, how you suffered, oh, Lord, how you suffered. And he was going on, and he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, Kenneth, I did suffer, but I'm not suffering now. Why not? Because he's seated at the right hand of God in absolute power. And even beyond that, it says that you and I, as we have received Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, we are seated in Christ with him. And then verse 13 says, then to wait until his enemies should be made a stool beneath his feet. Well, where's his feet? His feet's in his body. Jesus is the head of his body. The church is his body. Therefore, it is up to the church to put Christ's enemies under his feet. Yeah, we have all authority. Because Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and earth. And then he turns that authority over to you and to me. He said, you go in my name. You do this. You cast out devils. You lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. You do this. See, lay hands and use the authority that I've given you. You got a policeman standing out in the middle of the road stopping cars. Well, he couldn't stop one car. A car could run over him just as easy as anything. But everything stops when he puts his hand up. Why? Because there's authority behind that policeman. It's not his strength. It's the authority of the state. It's the authority of the community that he represents. You run him over, they're all coming after you. See, and it's the same with you and me. When we decide and determine to exercise the authority that Jesus has placed in us, something's going to happen. Because all of heaven backs that authority. The Lord of the armies of heaven is your Lord. He is your God. And he has said, you go in my name and you do this. And when you put your hand up, when you stand against the devil, he has to obey and relinquish his attack on you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I hope you can see that. It's a magnificent thing that we have been made. We're no longer worms. We're no longer sinners. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, I still make mistakes. But I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Satan's not my Lord. I've been translated into the kingdom of Jesus. He's my Lord. And any mistakes I make are between him and me. Satan has no authority over me whatsoever unless I give it to him, either by ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't understand that we have the power and the authority to take him down, or we don't exercise that authority, or we begin to live in sin, and then we have guilt, and we don't longer boldly come before the throne of God because we don't feel comfortable. But whatever, we need to seek Jesus. We need to get close to him, receive his forgiveness, love him, and be holy. I heard a preacher say, there's when in the Hebrew text, when you wanted to emphasize something, you said it more than once. So like Jesus many times said, truly, 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 truly. That's the Hebrew way of putting the exclamation point on it. He said only twice in the entire Bible was something ever said three times. One was holy, holy, holy. The Lord God Almighty is holy, holy, holy. He's holy. And then in Revelation it says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because the evil was coming during the tribulation. He is good. All I want to see is Jesus. All I want to be is his friend. I just want to be close to him. I want to have communion and fellowship with him. Proverbs says, a man by separating himself intermeddleth with all wisdom. I just want to separate myself from the world, everything that's out there that's destructive and negative and pulling us down, and meditate in God's truth, in his love, and serve him. I want to be holy. I want to be like Jesus. And I think as the church begins to acquire this desire to be like him, to move away from the world. You know, we're commanded to move away from the destructiveness of the world and have no parts of it. I like what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, or do you not know and realize that when a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? The two, it is written, shall become one flesh. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for and made his own. So then honor God and bring glory to him in your body. We are surrounded by forces that are demonic in nature. They are constantly coming after us, harassing us, trying to draw us into sin. But if we will hold fast to our confidence in Jesus, he will bring us through. Remember, if you know Jesus, you'll know freedom. If there is no Jesus, there'll be no freedom. This is Pastor Woodson Moore, Ferreton Christian Center, reminding you, Jesus is freedom.